Welcome back to the Born to Ball podcast. As always, I'm your host, Kenny G, on this beautiful late September Friday afternoon, guys. We got a lot to talk about. We'll recap the doubleheader Monday Night Football, last night Thursday Night Football game, a big football weekend. We'll go over college football, NFL games with winners. We'll talk about MLB as the playoffs approach, Friday mailbag, and one last hope of my gambling journey. Let's get into it. All right, now as we get into Monday night's recap, let's talk about the Bills and Jaguars first, man. Of course, on Monday, I was like, at first, I had the Commanders beating the Bengals and I had the Bills beating the Jags. But something told me last minute, hey, let's get the Jags beating the Bills and Bengals beating the Commanders. But if you already know the result, you clearly know that was wrong, man. Josh Allen and the Buffalo offense went crazy in the first half. In the first half, he had over 200 yards and 4 touchdowns. And I think he just got benched at the end of the game. Or if not, they just ran the ball. As for Trevor Lawrence and the Jags offense, a lot of questions surround if Trevor Lawrence is really a bust or not. I think he still has potential, and I still think he is a really good quarterback, but Monday night was just not his week, man. And same for the rest of the early season. It has not been that time for the offense. Maybe it's just time for a change at offensive coordinator or head coach. Shout out to Crimson Tide. Mac Jones got in the game. He had 5 completions for 22 yards. But overall, this a terrible night for the Jags offense and defense. 47 points given up, and it's only 10 points scored. And I mean, it was just a bad day. I mean, no turnovers forced by the Jags defense. Offense could barely move the ball. They only had 239 yards of total offense with 28 minutes of possession. Just embarrassing. Only 3 minutes less than the Bills, and they had, I would say, around 100 yards less plus. And that was just embarrassing. You lost by 37, man, and it's just not looking good for them, man. You know, they have the Texans this Sunday, and it can only go uphill, but it can continue to slide for the Jags. As for the Bills, you know, they have the Ravens on Sunday Night Football. A lot of Josh Allen MVP talks. I don't believe it. I believe, you know, MVP isn't settled in September, but we'll see going forward. He did have a really good game, but as for the team he's playing, the Cardinals, Dolphins, Jags, I mean, he hasn't been playing the best of teams, but he still has been given an elite performance. And yes, by the end of the season, will he be a candidate? Yes, but that let's not diminish the fact that Patrick Mahomes, Lamar Jackson, CJ Stroud will continue to rise their stock up even after mediocre starts. But yeah, not much to talk about this game. Clearly was not the best game of the night if you did watch what was on ABC. As for the Bengals and Commanders, man, what a game. Jaden Daniels was, now I think right now is rookie of the year because that was an impressive performance. He only had 2 incompletions on the night with 2 touchdowns. He threw the same amount of touchdowns as he had for incompletions, dog. I mean, a great night. He had 21 completions out of 23 attempts, 254 yards, and 2 passing TDs. He also had 39 yards on the ground and a rushing TD. Only got sacked twice on the night, man. Terry McLaurin showed up big time, like I said, and he needed to. 4 catches for 100 yards and a touchdown on a beautiful dive through by Jaden Daniels. He brought it in the corner of the end zone. Defensively, they handled their business. You know, Ja'Marr Chase did go off. He had 6 catches for 2 touchdowns, 118 yards. Hell, Joe Burrow even had 324 passing yards and 3 tutties, but only giving up 33 points to the Bengals offense isn't bad considering where people projected your defense to be. As for the reason you won, Cliff Kingsbury and, of course, Jaden Daniels was a big part of that. The offense was able to move the ball that night, man. They had 356 total yards of offense. Rushing attack really wasn't there, but, I mean, the passing attack, what can I say? If you watched the game, you saw how perfect it was. Damn near, nearly perfect, but it was a great performance by Jaden Daniels, man. Right now, he's competing with Malik Nabers on Rookie of the Year. But like I said, it's September, so awards can't be projected now or predicted. But, you know, he's putting himself on a nice trajectory of winning that award, man. You know, QBs always get it. So a few more bad games from Malik Nabers, Marvin Harrison Jr. down the line, and you could expect Jaden Daniels to probably walk away with it. But overall, a great performance for the Commanders, man. You get your second win back-to-back weeks. And, I mean, hey, just after losing to the Bucks by that performance, I didn't expect them to do shit, and they are now already breaking my expectations. You know, beating the Bengals team, already beat the Giants. I mean, as of now, they're first in the NFC East, so you know that's cool and all, man, but they're gonna have to continue to keep their performance up for sure as they host the Cardinals Sunday, and that's another winnable game for them for sure. As for the Cardinals, I'll talk about that a little later, but they need that win. But on the Bengals side of things, you're fourth in AFC North. You're 0-3. You lost to the Patriots, Chiefs, and Commanders. You lost to 2 teams that you should have blown out the water, but here we are. You're 0-3, and next, you go on the road to play the Red Rifle and Andy Dalton. Andy Dalton, could very well send your team to purgatory. Not even purgatory, man. Send your team to hell. I mean, dude, 0-4 in the AFC North, and your season practically is chalk. I think there was a stat that said for teams that started 0-3, there were hundreds of them, you know, a lot of them, maybe thousands of them. Hell, I don't know. But there was, I think, a single-digit number of teams that started off 0-3 and made the playoffs. Don't know the stat for sure, but, I mean, it's a hard hill to climb up, man, especially considering you have the damn AFC North and the AFC to deal with. You after the Panthers game, you got the Ravens, then the Giants, Browns, Eagles. So in the month of October, you got four games, and two of them versus Super Bowl contenders, and the Eagles and Ravens. And then November, it doesn't get better. You get the Chargers, who look to hopefully be healthy, and then the Ravens again. Get the Raiders, who also can make some things shake. In December, you get the Steelers, Cowboys, Browns, and Broncos. January, you finish it off with, I think, the Steelers, you know. So your schedule's tough, dog. You're already at a disadvantage down 0-3, and it's pretty bad, dog. You know, like I said, they get the Panthers on Sunday, and that's probably the biggest win they need all season. No matter what else goes on in the season, this is the biggest win they need right now. But yeah, Monday Night Football doubleheader delivered this week, man. We're going to see next week on Monday. Going to be interested to see that one, but Commanders, Bengals, Jags, Bills, one game was a disappointment, while the other one was a Game of the Year candidate, dog. Beautiful game, and the funny thing is, for the back-to-back weeks, the Commanders haven't had to punt. Tress Way, their punter, has had an amazing 2 weeks off. But yeah, Jaden Daniels in that offense looks legit right now. I really believe in them, and they can stamp another win next Sunday as they take the Cardinals on. But now let's get into some Thursday Night Football. Man, this is pretty to see. Not beautiful, but pretty to see. This is a wide receiver league, dog, and it clearly showed on Thursday night again as CeeDee Lamb and Malik Nabers both had over 100 yards. For CeeDee, he had 7 catches, 106 yards, and one good touchdown grab. As for Malik Nabers, he had 12 catches and 111 yards. Technically had 115 receiving yards, but he had a carry for negative 4 yards. But still, man, just, I mean, great performances from both wide receivers to look to be, what, top 5 in the next year or two? Can't wait to see them continue to grow. But as for the Cowboys side of things, defensively, Daniel Jones looked pretty good against them. Daniel Jones, Danny Dimes. He had 29 completions for 281 yards and didn't throw it for a touchdown as the Giants scored 5 field goals. He threw it for an interception, though. Not to say he played amazing, but he looked way too competent for what we've seen out of Daniel Jones before, man. So he had a decent game. Waddell Robinson looked like to be his favorite target on the night. He had one less catch than Malik Nabers, 11 of them with 71 yards. Their offense just stalled when they got inside the 50, and you know that's not going to work to win games. They scored 5 field goals, and the kicker, most likely on their way to a special teams player of the week for the NFC. Offensively, though, for the Giants, man, this was an interesting stat to look at, dude. Brian Burns, you know, their new tackle, Mr. Big Payday in New York, had 25 pass rushes and got 0 pressures. I mean, embarrassing night. You got Kayvon Thibodeau and Brian Burns, who I thought was going to be a great pass rushing duo. As of now, Brian Burns has showed up to do nothing. And for the Giants to be successful defensively, they need Brian Burns to show up. He's getting big money, man. He's got Sexy Dexy, Dexter Lawrence, Kayvon Thibodeau, and he's himself, Brian Burns. And he still can't get pass rush. I mean, he's got two guys on the defensive line who garner attention. And him himself, one-on-one, I don't think he's yet to show him anything worth his payday. So he needs to be better. But I think, you know, Brandon Audrey, Dallas, man, shout out him, dude. He was just killing it again. He missed the field goal yesterday. He did. But he had a 50-plus yarder and a one between the 40 and 49-yard line. 10 fantasy points on the night, 2 of 2 on extra points, looking like the best kicker in the league, right up there with Harrison Butker. Scoot over Justin Tucker, you know, you're washed, old man. But for the Cowboys side of thing, like I said, defensively, they need to be better. Luckily, Micah Parsons, who got carted out the game with a foot injury, something in the lower body, he got an X-ray, and he looks to be good, though, so that's all good. Same for Malik Nabers, who left the game before it ended. He looks to be good as well. As for Dakota Prescott and that Cowboys offense, you know, I don't know what to say, really. I think they need to get a running back soon. Shout out Rico Dowdle. He looked good. He had 11 carries, 61 yards, a touchdown, but still, man, I don't know. I think you need to get a real running back, one either in the draft, trade deadline, or in the offseason, but yeah. That offense really just looked meh. Dakota Prescott did look good, in my opinion. 22 completions, 221 yards, 2 touchdowns, excuse me, and yeah, he had a good day overall. You know, I think they should have blown the Giants out if they were really legit, but defensively, they gave up way too much. And offensively, they didn't take full advantage of their opportunities. You know, they were 3 of 10 on on third down, and we had 80 rushing yards on the day. Now, that's not really going to be sustainable to win a championship or let alone win a playoff game, but Cowboys win this one by 5 as I predicted. So, go Cowboys. Once I count up by the end of the year, all my wins and losses on who I had, it's going to be interesting to see, but that for sure helps me, man. But like I said, Cowboys by 5. Now, let's get into some college football. Before we get into Friday and Saturday's games, man, the big news out of college football this weekend is how UNLV quarterback Matthew Slucka left the program due to an NIL agreement not getting agreed, not agreed on, but met. His the agreement getting met. He was guaranteed, I want to say guaranteed, but there was a verbal agreement of $100,000 going Slucka's way if he signed with the Rebels, which he did. So sort of sitting here heading into what was it, week four, week five of the college football season, he has said he has yet to receive any money yet. Him, his agent, his family talked about how the fact that their money was never sent to him all these months and they haven't got it, and he went in to ask for it and they still didn't give it to him. Of course, you can't get 100 grand off the rip, but you could tell something's a little fishy over there. As for other news on the roster, they lost a running back, I think third or fourth string running back, because his money wasn't agreed on to when he transferred here or when he got there. So it looks like a messy situation for the Rebels, Barry Odom, and for who I think's on the right, I'm gonna go with Matthew Slucka. I think for sure, NIL is a it's a big thing. You're not guaranteed to make the league as he is a senior quarterback. He only had 1 year of redshirt available. So he's going to cash it this year and go play again next year. And that will be his final year. And the odds are looking at he's not going to make the league. And the thing is, that 100K, that's great money to keep, hold on to, save. As if you're going to be done with college football and football in general, post college, dog, that's money to hold on to. And I got a feel for the dude. I know it was a verbal agreement, nothing was signed. But I mean, come on. If your work tells you, you didn't sign anything, but you go to the interview, they tell you, yeah, you're gonna get $15 an hour and benefits and this and that, and you work your ass off, you do everything right. Hell, you're one of the best employees and everything's going right, man. Company's getting better, this and that, and boom, by week 4 or 5 or whatever the hell it is, for Matthew Slucka, this is like multiple weeks in. We're talking about nearly 20 weeks in as summer, fall camp, this and that, and he has yet to receive a dollar. So imagine you're an employee, McDonald's, Burger King, whatever. And you still haven't got your $15 an hour and your benefits. What are you gonna do? You're gonna be upset. You go to them and they tell you, nah, we can't still give it to you. What are you gonna do? You're gonna quit. Now, was that a terrible example? And I've been slurring my words this whole talk about it. Yes, because damn it, I am not. Nah, I'm not. I don't got the knowledge for the situation, dog. And I'm half awake, so forgive me. But at the end of the day, he deserves his money. I know NIL isn't all good for some people, but I think it's a beautiful thing because it allows college athletes who work their tail off to get paid finally. And he had a verbal agreement. There was nothing signed? No. Was that him and his agent's fault? Yes. But at the end of the day, if you agreed and that's one of the reasons he came to your program, you should live up to that side of the deal and give him his money. As for the Rebels, the 3-0 ranked, looking to win the Mountain West and hopefully get into the college football playoffs, they're going to have to regroup immediately. I don't know how the locker room feels. I bet it's half and half. Half understands Sluka and half are like, okay, he's weird for leaving the program mid-season. I get both sides of it, especially in the locker room, but I'm on Matthew Sluka's side for the UNLV Sluka discussion. So I think he should have got his money. I know it wasn't agreed on. I know it wasn't signed, but it was agreed on. So he needs his money. Well, there is no he needs his money. He's not going to get his money no more as he's transferring. Interesting to see who will try to get him in the transfer portal this winter. But yeah, I'm on Sluka's side, and I know this has been a messy story from my part of it because I'm not knowledgeable. I don't got the knowledge on it, so forgive me as I've been slurring my words this whole time. I'm half awake. I'm about to go get a drink of water after I finish this segment. Hopefully that'll wake me up. But yeah, man, I think Sluka should have got paid. He's in the right 100%. College athletes shouldn't be getting scammed like this. If no matter the situation you are in life, if you were to go to a place because of an agreed thing, like you agreed on it. And this is a fishy business. We're not talking about you found a random deal on the corner and you agreed on $100,000. No, we're talking about this is real life business. You agreed to go to school. You agreed to play football and make money for this program. So you wanted your $100,000 they told you you would get. So I don't know. Fishy situation for UNLV and Barry Odom. They are likely probably to get investigated this winter by the college football NCAA. So yeah, man. Shout out Sluka. He deserves his money. And yeah, let's Now let's get into Friday and Saturday game, and hopefully I can wake up now. Before I get into some college football, man, news just came out. Micah Parsons, all pro for the Cowboys, did indeed suffer high ankle sprain, and his status is to be determined. That just really taught me that I need to probably wait to record the podcast until, you know, injuries and status gets 100% clear. But if I go look back on some tweets, man, I thought they said my boy was good, bro. You know, I thought they said he was good, dog. But they said they were negative, dude. But hey, I mean, he still got an ankle sprain, so it is what it is. He'll probably be out for a few weeks. So sheesh. Let's get into some college football now, though. Sorry for the interruption. All right, guys, let's get into some college football for real. On Friday night, there's really nothing too crazy with the games, but if I had to tell you where your eyes need to be for Friday night, I will tell you to put it on Fox, man. We got 3-1 Washington taking on 3-0 Rutgers. Rutgers are favorites tonight, and that's who I'll go with, man. Give me the Scarlet Knights tonight. Give me them by a field goal. As for another game, we got ACC action. It's 4-0 Miami, top 10 Miami versus Virginia Tech on ESPN. If you want to tune into that one, man, shout out Cam Ward. Heisman candidate right now. Could be a favorite. I think he's my favorite, especially if they continue to go undefeated. But yeah, let's get into some Saturday for sure. On Saturday's games, you know, we got a good 11 a.m. watches. We got good games. For SEC, we got Kentucky versus Ole Miss. We've seen a couple weeks ago Kentucky gave Georgia a run for their money, and could it happen again? I doubt it, man. Give me the Jackson Dart and the Rebels, 38-14. At the same time, though, at 11 a.m., we got two good Big 12 matchups. Ranked matchup between number 20 Oklahoma State versus number 23 Kansas State, and Baylor versus number 22 BYU. Of course, Baylor lost in heartbreaking fashion to Colorado, but BYU beat the Wildcats in blowout. As for Oklahoma State, they barely lost to Utah last week, so back-to-back Big 12 weeks for all four of these teams, but these games will continue to shape up the Big 12 path for all four of them and even more teams. Give me Kansas State 24-17 and BYU 31-28. A little later in the day, we got SEC action. Arkansas versus number 24 Texas A&M. This will be my upset of the week for college football this Saturday. Give me the Razorbacks by a touchdown, 28-20. And the other three biggest matchups of the week, you know, we got three ranked matchups, man. We got number 15 Louisville versus number 16 Notre Dame, number 9 Penn State at home versus number 19 Illinois, and number 2 Georgia on the road versus number 4 Alabama. As for Louisville and on the road this game, I don't see a reason to believe they don't beat the damn Fighting Irish, dog. I don't believe in Marcus Freeman this season, at least, and Riley Leonard and the Fighting Irish, you know. Losing to Northern Illinois on the road, especially after they lost to Buffalo a couple weeks later, I really just don't believe in them at all, man. You got to give me Louisville. Give me the Cardinals, 24-14. Penn State at home for this one for this game gives them such a big boost, in my opinion. If they were to travel, I think this would be an upset watch, but they aren't. I got the Nittany Lions by 2 touchdowns, 35-21. Lastly, man, we got Bama versus Georgia. Top 5 matchup. Primetime SEC. Unfortunately, not on CBS, but we move on. Beck versus Milroe. Two squads decked out in NFL talent and future college football superstars. Alabama leads the all-time series 43-26 and one tie. Winners of the last meeting. This time, give me the Dogs, the Bulldogs, by a field goal late in the game. I got Carson Beck and Kirby Smart storming into Tuscaloosa with an eye on revenge and obtaining a dub. I got the final score being 31-28. But another games to watch this Saturday. We got Colorado versus UCF, another Big 12 matchup. 2 3-win teams. Ohio State versus Michigan State. Duke versus UNC. Oklahoma versus Auburn. And TCU versus Kansas. And if you want a late night Big 12 and Big 10 action, we got Arizona versus Utah and Oregon versus UCLA. Shout out the Pac-12. You know, RIP the Pac-12, man. You know, RIP them guys, man. But yeah, those are the college football games to watch this week, plus some winners, guys. Once again, sorry for this sloppy segment in general. It was just a bad segment all around for me. I don't know why. Just don't know if I'm feeling it today. You know, I'm human at the end of the day. So once again, forgive me for that was really sloppy, but I hope to be better these next few segments. But now let's get into some MLB talk. All right, guys, let's get into some Major League Baseball. As of now, like I said, things have completely shaped up for the playoffs. You got all your division winners. You got Cleveland winning the Central in the AL, New York Yankees winning the AL East, the Dodgers winning the NL West, and, of course, the Phillies winning the NL East. Sorry for that. All four teams I just named will have a bye, As for the Central winners in the NL, you have the Brewers, and as for the West winners in the AL, you got Houston. Both the three seeds for the wild card, it's looking like the Orioles and Padres locked that up for sure. As for the final four spots, we got the Mets, Diamondbacks, Royals, and Tigers. As for the Tigers and Royals, the magic number is one. If the Twins are to lose to the Orioles tonight, or if the Tigers and Royals are to win versus, I think, the White Sox and Braves, they're in the playoffs, which will be huge for both teams who haven't made it in the playoffs, I think, for the Royals since 2015 and the Tigers 2016, I think. On a National League side of things, for the Mets, if they win out, they are in. As for the Braves, they're going to need a little luck by the Brewers handling the Mets and them beating out the Royals. The Diamondbacks, they beat the Padres, dog. So for Arizona, they're going to roll out Merrill Kelly, Jordan Montgomery, and Eduardo Rodriguez for the final series, as they got Zach Gallen lined up for the playoffs. Nothing is guaranteed yet. Of course, the Diamondbacks take on the Padres, who clinched themselves a playoff spot. Right now, nothing is easy, of course, but the Diamondbacks have a 58.3% to make the playoffs. Whereas for the Braves, though, they have a 64% and the Mets 77%. So on the AL side of things, it's 90s all around the board. For the Orioles, it's of course 100%. They're already in. For the Royals and Tigers, they're both over 97%. But on the NL side of things, there's a lot to shape up still. No team was over 80% with the last two wild card spots on the line. Diamondbacks 58, of course. Like I said, Braves 64 and Mets 77. Mets get the Brewers this weekend. Diamondbacks got the Padres, of course, and then for the Braves they got the Royals. But on Monday, September 30th, it could be a big doubleheader. The Braves host the Mets for two games. The first one at 12:10 Central Standard Time. And the other to follow it, I think, 40 minutes later. But that game could determine who gets the second or third wild card spot. I mean, who knows, by the way, just because the Mets can control their own destiny. If they sweep the Brewers and the Royals, I think, take one or two from the Braves, then the doubleheader doesn't matter. I think they need to take two or three. I think the Royals need to take two or three for the Braves to be eliminated. But on the NL side of things, Monday we'll know 100%. Granted, I think I'll record the podcast during the first doubleheader game, but who knows? If the Mets win out and the Braves lose one or two, I think, excuse me, two or three, then they're out. So who knows, man? The playoffs are shaping up. MVP's already settled. You know that, man. But I can't wait. I love playoff baseball, and I can't wait to talk about that on Monday afternoon, of course. But yeah, that's it for MLB talk right now. I just wanted to give over some wild card percentages, talk about the teams in or out, man. Who knows? For my Royals, it could very be heartbreaking Monday, but I don't think so. I think the Orioles can clutch up tonight. But for a few teams, we're looking at Monday afternoon will be a little heartbreaking for others, while another by who the hell, who knows, tonight or Saturday, a lot of teams, a lot of fan bases are celebrating like shit. Well, it could be the complete opposite for a few fan bases and teams as well, man. But once again, sorry for any mess ups, any slurs, excuse me. I don't know why I just said slurs. Any mess ups, stutters, whatever, man. Once again, I want to apologize for that segment. But now let's get into some Friday mailbag. All right, now, guys, let's get into the mailbag. I had to do a little research for some of these questions, man, because, I just got such a brain, I got to consume information all the time, guys. So let's get into some questions, guys, for sure. First question, my guy Chris asks, Ben Thompson or Zach LaVine? I mean, what a foolish question to ask, my boy. Mr. South the West underscore. Brother, this is the easiest question of all time. Give me a Ben Thompson easily. Zach LaVine is a crumb bum. Ben Thompson's gonna do great things this year. Like, trust, like tune in. So that leads me to my next question. My boy Josh asks, who are some of your picks for most improved player this NBA season? I got two. First one is Ben Thompson. I think by midseason, he will be the starting point guard of the Houston Rockets. I think Fred VanVleet will have an option next offseason. I don't think he returns with the team unless he takes a big payday cut. I don't see him really staying with us long, and I think it's time you start preparing for the future. And Amin Thompson, he starts taking reps at the number one point guard spot, starting PG. I think it's going to be interesting to watch now. Granted, could I be lying my ass off and the pair with Shingun, Reed Shepard, multiple pairs don't work with him being the starting point guard? Who knows? But I think he'll be a most improved player candidate, even sixth man of the year. Hell, he can do that too. I got a lot of trust in Amin Thompson. But if I'd put money on somebody, give me Jalen Johnson from your Hawks. I think no DeJounte Murray, Trae Young.
I think he's going to take a big step up. Zachariah, the first overall pick, if that is his name, Zachariah, Zach, I'm going to call him Zach. Don't know the full name. Don't remember the full name, but that's not the point. That's not the point. I think Jalen Johnson is going to take up a big step up. I think he's going to be the clear second option. Atlanta, he's going to benefit from that. He's going to get a huge payday off of it. He's going to eat this year, and I can't wait to see it. I think he's going to do really well. He's up there in some of the best players in the 2021 class. I think he's right behind Şengün. I got Şengün number one, Scottie Barnes two, and I got Jalen Johnson three. I believe in him. I think he's going to do really well. And yeah, I think those are my two candidates. For the next question, my boy Vex asks, why did Straight to Jail lend you $100 for a date for you to spend it on Galaxy Gas? I bought it for my cousin, dog. I got my own money. I'm a rich nigga. You know what I'm saying? I'm a rich brother. So I ended up handling it on my own. Ended up handling a date on my own. Decided to spend the Galaxy Gas. Spend the money on the Galaxy Gas for my little cousin, man. Shout out little T. Next question, Isaiah asks, who NBA season around the corner? Who are the three pretenders coming into the season? For my three answers, I got the Cavs, Suns, and Pacers. For the Cavs side of things, I don't think that team will ever be championship contender material. Don't think they're better than the Knicks, Celtics, Bucks, or Sixers. I don't think it's close either. I just don't believe in that squad at all. They're a solid team. I love Donovan Mitchell, but for the rest of the team, I don't think they're playoff guys. Evan Mobley, Darius Garland, Jared Allen. I don't think those are the guys to raise up and play at the same level as Spider. And if he doesn't make it far in the playoffs again, can we ask ourselves, is he going to win out of Cleveland? Because hell, you're not going to win. I don't think you're going to win jack shit there, dog. I think it's time you come back to the West. I think it's time you come play in Houston. But I digress. Next team I got, of course, was the Suns. Kay Disney, Devin Booker, Bradley Beal. On paper, they look good, but outside of those top two guys, Devin Booker and Kevin Durant, I don't believe in the roster at all. I think they're very thin. Of course, you got Grayson Allen. I mean, you got good guys. I just don't believe in the team, bro. Overall, I just don't like them in the playoffs. I don't like them against other West teams. Their roster really isn't well. I think other West teams are going to jump up this year, like Houston. And I think they're going to just fall because of that. Not saying they're a bad team, but I don't believe in them off rim. And for the last team, I had the Pacers. I think the Pacers just got incredibly lucky playing an injured Knicks squad. I don't think they would have went the same way if the Knicks were healthy. I know it's a woulda, coulda, shoulda league. And unfortunately, I just don't see the Pacers being as good as last year. Now, they will make the playoffs. I just don't got them going as far as the Eastern Conference Championship Series. But yeah, those are my three teams for sure, dog. And yeah, those are the three teams I don't believe in. There's a lot more, but those were the top three teams for sure. Like, I also thought about putting Miami in there, but I think Miami playing team again this year. So I really didn't want to put them in there. I wanted to put three solidified playoff teams in there that I don't think are going to make it past the first round this year. Another question from Vex asks, why do you own a 49-foot bed? If I'm not mistaken, I think Sean Puff Daddy Diddy Combs owns one, so I can't answer that question, brother, because I am not Diddy myself. Weird question. Let the guy rot in prison, brother. Producer said I can't talk about Diddy no more. That's the end of it. Next question, YBG Sin asks, how many pickles can you eat in 10 minutes without cutting it up or just straight eating the pickles, normal size dill pickles? I'd say I could probably eat around 5. 2 minutes for both. Take my time because, I'm not the biggest pickle guy ever. And also, I don't want to come off a little homosexual. No, nothing against the community, dog. I love them. I respect them. I understand them. I just, for the image of me, I don't think it's good if I come out here eating multiple pickles at a minute pace, so 5 pickles in 10 minutes, a pickle for every 2 minutes. I think that's good pace. And last question, my boy BCR, the legend, the GOAT, asks my UCL Champions League semi-finalist predictions. Big soccer guy, if you know me, big football guy. So, thought about it, did my research, I looked at it, and I was like, you know what? These are the four teams I got in the semifinals. I got Real Madrid, Liverpool, Bayern, German, and Juventus. Go football. I wish Chelsea was in here because I think Chelsea would wipe the squad. But those are my four teams, man, for sure. But yeah, that was this week's edition of Friday Mailbag. Still getting the Diddy questions, but we got some sports one. Once the NBA gets around, and we'll get a lot more NBA questions. I love that. As for football, I talk about football, so I don't got to really get into more football questions. But shout out to everybody that answered. If you didn't, it's all cool in the hood, man. All good in the hood, of course. Yeah, so let's get into some NFL talk.
All right, fellas, forgive me if you hear the fan. That's where we get into our second to last segment on the day, guys. So forgive me if you hear the fan in the background with the MacBook. Sounds like a damn jet sometimes, dude. So forgive me if you hear that. But let's go over this Sunday slate, man. To kick it off, we got the early afternoon games, 1 o'clock. You know, they look pretty good. I really love this slate. We're gonna start off talking about the Falcons and Saints. Of course, the Saints lost to Eagles by a few points last Sunday. As for the Falcons, they lost to the best team in the league, the best quarterback of all time. Both teams last Sunday showed good things and bad things, but overall, you got to give me the Falcons on this one. I know they did have a few injuries last week, man, but Bijan, Kirk Cousins, Kyle Pitts, Drake London, Ray McCloud, shit, Darnell Mooney. That offense looked, I think, pretty legit last week. I thought they looked way better than what the Saints did versus the Eagles. Of course, the Falcons beat the Eagles. Hey, I'm just saying, Falcons beat the Eagles. Eagles beat the Saints, so by that logic, you got to give me the Falcons this week. Regardless of what happened, I would still win with the Falcons, but yeah, give me the Falcons at home. By what, touchdown? Multiple touchdowns? Who knows? Give me the Falcons winning this one. And what is my upset of the week? It shouldn't come as an upset. I guess the other team's 0-3 and the other one has a win, but that doesn't matter. I digress. Give me the Panthers, Red Rival, Andy Dalton beating the Bengals, his former squad. Oh, how does that sound? Andy Dalton, known Bengals quarterback for a long time, gets back, you know, backup quarterback for a few years, finally gets to start again, has 300 yards and multiple touchdowns a week previously. Now he's back at home. Panthers fans got something to root for. He gets to go against his former team, man, the team that drafted him out of TCU. He gets to go against them and get some good old revenge, get a nice little revenge game going on at home. Give me the Red Rifle leading the Panthers to victory that Sunday afternoon. Next, we got Bears, Rams. Give me the Bears. I think we'll see an offensive explosion from the Bears this week. I call it out every week, but I think this is the week, guys. I think this is the week we get a clean Caleb Williams games, no turnovers. DJ Moore shows up. Roman Dunze does it again. Keenan Allen get a few catches. And hopefully DeAndre Swift can run the ball this week. Give me the Bears by 10 or so. I believe in the squad. Shout out the Bears. Give me them winning this one, guys. Next up, we got Packers versus Vikings. Had to pause real quick, make sure if Jordan Love is playing or not. As of now, I think he's going to be limited, maybe questionable. I don't think the Packers should rush him out there. The bigger goal, of course, is making the Super Bowl and winning it. So I don't think you should risk him right now. If it's Malik Willis playing, give me the Vikings. If Jordan Love is able to play on Sunday, give me the Packers. So if Jordan Love is playing, of course, give me the Packers by a field goal. If the Vikings win, if the Vikings play against Malik Willis, give me the Vikings by a touchdown. I think it's going to be a good game regardless of who plays at quarterback, Sam Darnold, Jay Jettas. That Vikings defense led by Brian Flores has been suffocating offenses all year, man. It's going to be a really good game. And yeah, like I said, if the Packers have Jordan Love, give me the Packers. This Malik Willis going out there again, give me the Vikings. But yeah, regardless of that, it's probably one of the first split games I got all year. But let's get into the next one. Houston versus Jacksonville. 0-3 Jaguars versus the Texans, who got dominated by the Vikings last week. I expect the Texans to bounce back in a big way and the Jags to keep sliding. Fortunately for the Jags, they got to play a good Texans team, man, on the road. And you're going to play a Texans team that is motivated. You know, you don't want to drop back-to-back losses, man. You really don't as a Texans squad. But you're going to try to, I think, Cam Akers again will get the start at running back. You still got Stephon Diggs, Nico Collins, Tank Dell, CJ Stroud, of course. Got that great pass rush of Will Anderson and Danielle Hunter. Derek Stingley Jr., you got yourself a squad, man. And I think they'll continue to dominate the Jags this weekend. They'll get back to the winner. They're winning ways. That's for the Jags. They're going to sit there on Monday morning, with big questions on what's the future. Is it Dougie P being gone? Get a new offensive coordinator? Who knows? Monday morning, or hell, Sunday night, we'll get some real big coaching changes if the Jaguars lose. That's my prediction of the week. Send it to the mail. Send it in. Next, we got Colts Steelers. Give me the Steelers. Like I said, Steelers defense has been electric all year. Anthony Richardson has been really inconsistent. I think it continues this week. This is probably one of the worst teams to be inconsistent about, because they will take advantage of your turnovers and they'll score points off it. Justin Fields have been good. Their defense, of course, has been stifling all season, handling business. Did the same thing versus the Chargers last weekend. Yeah, I think TJ Watt gets himself a good game. I think the Steelers have been really impressive, like, so far. I really didn't believe in them, but man, they have been really impressive. So yeah, I got them continuing to be 4-0.
Next game, we got Jets versus Broncos. Sean Payton versus Robert Saleh. Bo Nix versus Aaron Rodgers. Give me the, can't forget two of the best corners in the league. Sauce Gardner and Patrick Surtain. Yeah, dog, I think this can be a sneaky good game if Bo Nix can continue to be a competent quarterback. You know, he was last week versus the Bucks. Clean game, really, overall, and I think that can continue for sure. Yeah, give me the Jets, though. I think they continue on their winning ways. Breece Hall, Braylon Allen, Aaron Rodgers, Alan Lazard, Garrett Wilson, those guys, I think they continue to show up at home. MetLife Stadium, early afternoon. Give me the Jets on this one. For the last game of the early afternoon slate, we got Eagles on the road versus Tampa Bay. A rematch of what happened in the NFC wildcard game where the Bucks flat-out dominated the Eagles. Give me the Eagles winning this one. No A.J. Brown still, but don't know if Devontae Smith plays. Now, if he doesn't play, that could very well change my opinion heavily. So, let me give you another proposition real quick, man. If the Eagles have Devontae Smith, give me the Eagles. If they don't, give me the Buccaneers. Yeah, give me the Buccaneers. Sorry I had to clip that last part out. I ended up coughing pretty bad. But, yeah, give me the Bucs if Devontae Smith doesn't play. They're at home. After getting embarrassed by the Broncos last week, they're hopefully going to come out with better energy out the gate. Now, the thing is, I think Chris Godwin and Mike Evans are both questionable. But I think they both are expected to play on Sunday. So, if they do play, of course, give me the Bucs. If Devontae Smith doesn't play, of course, give me the Bucs still. If Devontae Smith doesn't play. But if he does for the Eagles, give me Jalen Hurts and that squad. I think if the Eagles do win, it will be another big performance by Saquon Barkley. But yeah, man, like I said last time, I hopefully have to say this for today. If the Eagles got Devontae Smith, give me the Eagles. If they don't, give me the Bucks. Yeah, so another split decision, man. Forgive me, guys. For our next game, we got Cardinals versus Washington. This is a hard game to choose. On paper, I immediately went with the Cardinals. But God, after Monday Night Football, dude, I'm going to switch it, guys. Give me the Commanders. Give me Jaden Daniels. Give me Cliff Kingsbury. Give me that offense again, dude. I hope they live it up again. I think it's going to be a great game. I think one of those good underrated mid-afternoon games. Got two good mobile quarterbacks that can pass that. They can slang that thing, man. They can slang it for sure. Marvin Harrison Jr., Terry McLaurin, Ohio State Buckeyes. This is going to be a good game. So give me the Commanders, dude. I'm going to flip my prediction and give me the Commanders. You know, the Cardinals are without Trey McBride. And also for the Jags, earlier, I should have mentioned this, Evan Engram is also out, so that could also add to their loss. But yeah, give me the Commanders winning this one. Trey McBride out, of course. Next game, we got San Francisco 49ers versus the Pats. Give me the Niners. George Kittle looks to be back in this game. He returns this year. He returns this season. And I just, like I said, I don't believe in the Patriots right now. They're a bleak team for me. And right now, I just you're losing to a better team. That's all it is. You're just gonna lose to a better team. For the Niners, they need to get back to their winning ways. He left back to back weeks to the Vikings and then the Rams. I think they'll have a little juice. He'll get George Kittle back, add to the passing attack. Jordan Mason won this again. Brock Purdy delivering dimes. I think that all defense will show up as well. I think it will be a blowout. Give me the Niners winning this one. Next, we got Chiefs versus Chargers. Don't need to talk long about this one, guys. I'll get into this one a little later. A lot of injuries and suspension. You got Derwin James on suspension. Both starting tackles who have not practiced all week as Joel Alt, Rashawn Slater have not practiced all week. Justin Herbert has been limited. But it doesn't matter if he's limited or not. If you're missing both of your starting tackles, why the hell would you throw out Justin Herbert to the Wolves? So give me the Chiefs winning this one in blowout fashion. I think it'll be a big win, big week offensively. For the Chiefs at defense, I think they'll smother the Chargers offense if it's either Taylor Heineke or Easton Stick. But yeah, give me the Chiefs by multiple scores. On paper, I immediately went with the Browns, but I did a little research in the game, and they'll be without Wyatt Teller, Jack Coughlin, and David Njoku. Big offensive pieces gone for the Browns. I think the Raiders at home, Allegiant Stadium, will get bounced back. Gardner Minshew, Davante Adams. I think they'll handle business, but Max Crosby, I think, will give a great performance. I think he'll attack that weak part of the that Browns offensive line. But, yeah, on paper, I had the Browns winning, but I don't think, even with their offensive struggles already with another week without David Njoku and two starting old linemen, I don't think they'll beat the Raiders in this game. But they'll slide back-to-back losses. Lastly, we got Sunday Night Football, what could be a great one. You got the Ravens versus Bills. The Ravens at home. Give me Lamar Jackson, Nicole. I think I'm a little 50-50. I think the Bills look good. I think the Bills have been looking better than Ravens so far this season, but the Bills have also played less competition. Cardinals, Dolphins, Jags, as for the Ravens, they played Chiefs, Raiders, and Cowboys.
So, I don't know, man. I'm going to go with the Ravens. I think their defense shows up. Kyle Hamilton, Roquan Smith. Hopefully, the secondary can lock down. I think they'll handle business pretty well at home. Lamar Jackson, that rushing attack, Derrick Henry. I think it'll be a good week for the Ravens offense. John Harbaugh needs to coach a better game, though. If you get a lead, you cannot choke it again. So, yeah, give me the Ravens winning this one, man. And that's it for the slate. Of course, let me recap my winners. I got Falcons beating the Saints, Panthers beating the Bengals, Bears beating the Rams, Packers beating the Vikings if Jordan Love plays. But if Malik Willis plays, give me the Vikings beating the Packers. Got the Texans beating the Jags without Evan Ingram. Steelers beating the Colts. I got the Jets beating the Broncos. Got the Eagles beating the Bucks if Devontae Smith plays. But if he doesn't, give me the Bucks beating the Eagles. I got the Commanders beating the Cardinals. Niners beating the Patriots. Chiefs beating the Chargers. Raiders beating the Browns. And the Ravens beating the Bills. And I'll take the two. I'll talk the Monday night doubleheader again on the Monday podcast. But yeah, that's my week four slate winners. And yeah, guys, let's get into our last segment of the day. If you've been following the podcast or my Twitter, you know I've just been struggling with gambling, man. After that big Ravens Chiefs same game parlay, it's been pretty bleak, dog. I haven't won a bet since. I think I'm 0-10 right now. This weekend I looked to bounce back in a big way. I've cooked up something for the Chiefs and Chargers, you know. I got a $15 bonus bet because I used the no sweat token, and I can't split that money up, so it has to go to one solid bet, man. And it's gonna go to the Chiefs and Chargers. I got Chiefs easily handling the spread, you know, -7 on the spread. I think they're gonna cover that easy. It'll be a blowout win. I got Mahomes over 247.5 yards, Rasheed Rice over 73.5 yards, and you know this failed me last time I did it when they played the Bengals. I got Xavier Worthy over 0.5 yard first quarter. And one thing I'm debating on is putting J.K. Dobbins anytime touchdown score, but I know they're not going to be able to pass the ball if both of their starting tackles are out and Justin Herbert is too. So I'm thinking, you know, you're maybe going to lean on the rushing, John Harbaugh, Greg Roman. They're going to try to run the ball down our throat time, control time of possession. But I don't know. I'm bleak on that. I'm going to think about it because I'm going to try to put it in Saturday. That's when I'm going to try to put this bet in. But yeah, man, I hope they can give me some winnings again, get me back on the winning trail. I just got to hope it works. If not, then your boy's probably going to take a little break, man. A much-needed break to regroup and do some research. But, yeah, the reason, you know, I'm really big on the Chiefs blowing the Chargers out, I think the offense will have a great performance. Rasheed Rice will eat again. I think Rasheed Rice, I saw a stat that, you know, he's been one of the best receivers against zone coverage, and Chargers have been one of the teams to run zone coverage the most this season. So I think he'll dominate. I think his dominating season will continue. I think he'll have over 100 yards and a touchdown this game, but I'm not going to put the touchdown score because, you know, that can fail me. But Mahomes, I think he's going to have a great bounce-back win. I gotta hope he can control the interceptions, have a clean game, and walk out with the dub and big stats. So, yeah, that's it for today, guys. Not much to really say for the outro. Like Monday, we'll talk about all the games on Saturday and Sunday, give you an overview of MLB, what to look forward to for the playoffs. That week, the wild card series, and what happened this weekend for baseball. We'll also talk the Monday Night Football doubleheader, of course, and Thursday Night Football for the upcoming week. Hopefully, I'll talk to you guys with some more money in my pocket. But I want to real quick apologize for the way this episode has been sloppy. This has been my most sloppy episode yet. I think it's due to because I put the lack of work in. I woke up for 20 minutes, put together this script, and I think it was sloppy overall. I spitball a lot of things, and, you know, that wasn't all good. Excuse me, especially for the college football portion with Matthew Sluka and that situation. I thought that was very sloppy, and other parts were too, and I just wanted to apologize, especially if you could hear the fan in the background or other noises, but once again, I just want to apologize. I'm sorry if it was sloppy. I really hope to be better on Monday, and I think I will be. I think Mondays I am way more prepared than I am on Fridays. Friday, I think I just will be having the case of the weekend blues, just ready to hit the weekend. You know, I got classes on Friday, so, you know, I'm just ready to just hit my weekend and start it off, so... Forgive me if today you felt sloppy. I really did, you know. But if you made it this far, thank you so much. I really am great. I really am grateful for you. So I hope to guys catch you guys on Monday with what I said earlier, and I hope we can recap a great weekend of baseball, football, and all that other stuff, man. But as always, love and respect one another, and I want to thank you for tuning in, and have a great weekend, guys. Love you. Mwah. Bye-bye.